you're in the 06010.
Welcome to the Fantasy Focus. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feed, as well as on the ESPN app. And if you're listening to the audio feed, today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. Happy Monday to you. It's August 9th. Field of Matthew hanging out with you, and hope you had a good weekend. How was yours?
Mine was great.
Good.
No, I don't know if you're noticing, but I am wearing, for those of you not watching the live stream, yeah. I'm wearing a shirt that says Jack Attack Rocks.
Okay, tell me more about that.
So this is...
I believe it says Jack Attack Rock, or is there a small S?
No, there's an S. There's an S. Jack Attack... Oh, no, you're right. Jack Attack Rock. Okay, Jack Attack Rock. So Jack Attack is my buddy Jack Posnack.
Okay.
Now, if you remember... Jack is a friend of the podcast. He was on the show last year.
Yeah.
I wrote about him and his story in Love Hate. You can check it out last year. I did it last year, so if you missed the story, it's a great story. You should check it out. If you just Google Matthew Berry Jack Attack,
yeah,
it'll come up.
Right.
I think the title is Love Hate in the Time of Coronavirus. But at any rate, so my buddy Jack Posnack has merch, and I was lucky enough this weekend to spend some time with my buddy. And he gave me the shirt.
That
I said, can I wear it on air? And he's like, you bet. So
it looks great on you. Very
becoming. Yeah, thank you very much.
Yellow's your color.
Shout out to Jack Attack and the Posnack family. And so it was a great weekend. How was yours?
It was a good weekend as well. Too short, as usual. We had some beautiful weather up here in the Northeast, so no complaints. We got a big show today. We've got more Double Trouble. We'll do the Patriots and the Jets. We'll finish up the AFC East today, do some NFC East teams starting tomorrow.
Right.
And a couple of updates just on news and various things that could come up. Football is getting closer. We've got 16 preseason games scheduled between now and Sunday. That's good right there, right?
There we go. Actual and football.
We had the Pro Football Hall of Fame last night.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And I love the inductions and Saturday night, I should note.
Yep.
I love the inductions always. The speeches just seem to have a way to get you every single time, even if you have a semi-idea of what is coming. Wonderful job by all, and congratulations to those that were inducted.
That Peyton Manning is good in front of a microphone. Someone should put him in a commercial
or something,
or on a TV show
calling
a game or something.
No one ever put it that way before.
I know.
I hadn't thought of that.
He's very charming. Who knew?
Who knew? Yeah, seriously. He's got a career in something ahead of him. And congratulations to Peyton.
Looks like Peyton's not going to be a one-hit wonder. It looks like Peyton might have a career past football.
By the way, I mean, just like, I would have thought, like, pound the over for whatever the allotment for time for these Hall of Fame's induction speeches was 6 minutes. Peyton might have been a little bit over, but not much.
Yeah. He was eight. Because I watched it. I watched it online afterwards.
Yeah.
It was like eight something.
Yeah,
so I mean,
tremendous.
I saw the time of the video. The only other thing I'll say about that, and I agree with you, I thought all the speeches were great, and congratulations to a very deserving Hall of Fame class. But jokes aside about Peyton, I mean, obviously, you know, that guy's, you know, an unbelievably charismatic showman. But I thought it was very, very cool that Tom Brady showed up.
Yeah,
that was like. You know, and like Tom Brady is one of those guys that, whatever, you know, goat to goat. Tom Brady doesn't make a wrong move, man. I don't know. I thought it was an unbelievably classy gesture by Brady. I know, you know, Manning mentioned it in the, in his speech, you know, gave him a little ribbing, but also I know it meant a lot to Peyton and, you know, and I would bet everything I have that when Tom Brady is eventually inducted into the Hall of Fame, Peyton Manning will be there.
Right. As Peyton noted, around 2035, Brady's first year of Hall of Fame eligibility.
Right, exactly.
So, again, we're going to get the Patriots, Tom Brady's old team, and then the Jets for Double Trouble. But just one piece of news, and we're going to keep it just sort of straight to the news because we're actually covering the Giants on Tuesday, tomorrow's show in Double Trouble. But Saquon Barkley will be activated off of the PUP list today. That according to a variety of reports. And Matthew, Saquon, as we know, tore his ACL in week 3 of last year, so he had essentially a full year. Now, many people were sort of jumping for joy over this news, as Saquon, as we know, one of the best players in the NFL, and certainly one of the best fantasy players in the NFL when at full strength. I thought I'm inferring that Stefania's tweet.
Yes, Stefania just made a subtweet here.
It was a subtweet.
@Stefania_ESPN, she writes, this is about an hour ago, I've never seen so many tweets predicting FF dominance for a player expected to begin practicing 2 weeks later than what was originally expected at the time of injury. Now, you and I both assume that is about Saquon Barkley.
I don't believe, and I could be wrong here, right? I don't believe that's about, like, you know, like the Jaguars backup safety who returned to fit to practice today. Right,
exactly. Yeah. Or Hunter Henry. There was a little bit of injury news about Hunter Henry.
The other way. Yeah, we'll get to him in a minute. Yeah.
So we think it's about Saquon, and there's a lot of Twitter talk between fantasy football analysts going on today about arguing back and forth on Saquon, and a lot of people are very pro Saquon. Sure. Understandably so. Listen, we had Mike Clay on here last week who said he had, you know, when we did the mock draft show, he has Saquon at 3.
Yeah, that's right.
At 3 overall. I mean, I am at 9 overall. We'll see. Look, here's the thing, and I get it. Like, and he's been dropping into the second round. Listen, is Saquon an incredible player? He is. And do I think he's going to get, when he is 100% healthy, do I think he gets a ton of touches? He will. Does he make me a little nervous? He does.
All things are fair to be said. And we'll revisit this tomorrow, Tuesday, in greater length. And it won't just be specific to the fact that he's been activated from the PUP list. It'll be about the depth chart and the potential plan for Saquon and the pass catchers and Daniel Jones and the offensive line and all the factors that could contribute to potentially a star season for Saquon. But it's time now for Double Trouble.
Double Trouble.
Double, double.
Trouble.
Trouble.
Double Trouble.
Double, double.
Trouble, trouble.
Double Trouble.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
We got the drop. Look at that. Yeah, we're 2 weeks in and like a young Saquon Barkley, Daniel Dopp is finally.
Iron sharpening iron.
Iron, yeah, exactly. My buddy Jack, by the way, big Giants fan. He was telling me this weekend he's expecting a big year from Saquon and the entire Giants offense.
I just want to know, in this analogy, iron sharpens iron. Yeah. Yeah. You must be talking about yourself, right? There's no way that in this scenario of, like, Matthew being a metal, that Matthew is the iron that I am sharpening myself
on.
No,
I'm the iron.
Yeah, okay.
I'm the iron. Make no mistake.
Okay.
That. Yeah. Yeah. No.
I'm not sure.
Do you have a metal? If you were a metal,
is there one
pudding,
that's
sharpening?
What's the easiest metal to melt and that gets into a gelatinous phase?
What's the one that is in a thermometer?
I was going to say
mercury.
I was thinking, open up a can of tennis balls, there's that teeny tiny sheet that you have to pull back.
Yeah.
It keeps the balls fresh.
Yeah.
That's like the thinnest metal you can think of. That's what
maybe it's lead, because you look at it and you're like, wow, that's going to be really heavy. And then you pick it up and it's like, that's way heavier than I thought it was.
You know what? Or maybe.
I love the idea that you assume Matthew carries metal around.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, you ever think maybe I'm vibranium? How about that? Maybe I'm vibranium,
wow.
the strongest metal on Earth. It's what Captain America's shield
is
made
of. That's right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, it's impossible. It's one of those things that's like defies logic, which I think, you know, if you look at my career, sort of like also doesn't make sense
People write that often to me.
Yes,
I get it all the time.
Vibranium? That's what it's called, is vibranium?
Vibranium is, yes, it's within the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's in the country of Wakanda. It's the strongest element known to man. It's what Captain America's shield is made out of.
Gotcha.
Some of Iron Man's suits are made out of vibranium.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Winter Soldier's arm out of vibranium.
What were you carrying when you were carrying your case in that movie? What were you carrying? Were you carrying no-branium?
No, it was exactly. No. That was just a normal metal case, but it was carrying a Tesseract.
Oh, gotcha.
It was carrying the Tesseract, which is ultimately you find out is one of the Affinity Stones and whatever. That's for a different nerdy podcast. Let's go back to our nerdy podcast.
One last question, though.
Yes,
when they hand you the case, and they're like, are you capable of carrying this? Were you like, I go to the ESPN gym once every dozen years. So yes, I'm definitely capable of carrying it.
They made it lighter for me. You know, movie magic. Yeah, of course, obviously.
All right, sounds good. Let's talk about the Patriots.
I mean, like, did I pick up Thor's hammer? I did not.
No. No,
I did not want to mess with that. I didn't even try. I didn't need to embarrass any of that. Thor, I was in the scene with Thor. He's holding the hammer. I could have. And I was like, you know, let me just go for the case.
So the Patriots have two quarterbacks right now that we think have a chance of starting this year. Cam Newton has been, by Bill Belichick's own admission, the starter. And Bill has been very consistent with this. Cam's our starter, right? So it's Cam Newton's job to lose. That being said, they did draft Mac Jones, 15th overall. And Mac Jones, for as much sort of skepticism as there would have been from the masses if Mac Jones had gone third overall.
Sure.
Like, you would think this guy had a terrible, he had one of the single greatest seasons in college football history. He's obviously a very, very talented player. But the problem, Matthew, here is that when you've got two quarterbacks, one's the starter and you wonder if his leash is short, and the other, you don't know if he's going to start at all this year, how can you invest in either of them? So I'll ask you two questions. One, is either worth a redraft selection? Mm-hmm. And two, for the fantasy value of everybody else on this roster, if you could have it your way, which one would you like to see start for the Patriots?
Cam Newton and Cam Newton.
Interesting.
That's the answer for both.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about the redraft part first. So you think Cam is worth a redraft pick right now?
I do. Listen, I think he's in that QB2 tier that we talked about. He's not somebody that I want to go into a season counting on as my starter.
Right.
But as we sit here and we talk about the – you talk about, you know, and listen, I'm high on Trey Lance. I'm high on Justin Fields. Yeah. We both like Trevor Lawrence a lot as well. Like, you know, there are guys in that range, and we talked about Baker Mayfield the other day. But, yes, would I rather have Cam Newton than Baker Mayfield? Would I rather have Cam Newton than Ben Roethlisberger? You bet. Remember this. Last year, Cam Newton was the 16th best quarterback in fantasy in a year in which he wasn't 100% healthy. Remember, he contracted COVID early in the year. Felt like, and we've heard since then, that like he just never felt right. First year in a new offense. And his best wide receiver, his best pass-catching option on offense was Jacoby Myers.
Right.
Now, Jacoby Myers is a nice NFL story, you know what I mean? And, like, nice little player, but he should not be the number one on any NFL franchise, and he was. He was the alpha wide receiver for Cam Newton last year. So now you get a second year in Josh McDaniels' systems, in Josh McDaniels' system for Cam Newton. You add a bunch of pass catchers this offseason. We're going to get into them in more detail, but obviously you add Nelson Aguilar. You add Jonnu Smith. You add Hunter Henry. You have Jacoby Myers coming back, right? They have some nice pass catchers. They have James White as well in the backfield. There's one other guy I'm forgetting about. Who's from the 49ers? Kendrick Bourne.
They signed
Kendrick Bourne as well. Like, so suddenly now there's... now. Is this A.J. Brown and Julio Jones? It isn't. But, like, there's certainly a much more improved pass-catching core for Cam Newton than there was last year. And, of course, his value always comes from his legs. He had 12 rushing touchdowns last year, which was tied for fourth among all players. Not quarterbacks, all players in the NFL. 23 goal-to-go carries, 42 red zone carries, all top 10 among all players. If Cam Newton, who last year I think had one game of over 175 passing yards, like, I mean, it was just the only thing he could do was run. If Cam Newton has, you know, can get that up to 225 a game, you know what I mean? Like,
sure. Yeah.
And then you've also got the rushing ability. Yes, I think there is a scenario where Cam Newton becomes a top 12 fantasy quarterback this year.
So I agree with exactly everything you said right there, because in basically worst case scenario, he was still on a points per game basis, a mid-tier quarterback too.
Correct.
And I do think this is notable that the Patriots are, A, calling him their starter, and B, to a man, if you ask anybody within that organization about Cam Newton, could not have worked harder, represented the team better, put more into this over the past year and 2 months he's been in New England. The reason why that matters, like, that's one of those things that you say, and then the guy gets benched, and you're like, he's just not good. Well, the point is that for now, he's the guy, and it may perhaps build that leash a little bit longer.
I'm just going to throw in one quick thing here just to add to that.
Yeah.
Not to interrupt, but like there's sometimes there is a difference between a player's perception in the media and in the public versus in the locker room.
Sure. Yeah.
And everything I've heard is that players love Cam, that within a locker room, people love playing with Cam, that he's a great teammate as well. And that's important as well for a veteran team coached by a guy like Belichick. Having the locker room is important.
Yeah. So I don't know what the percentage is, whether it's 15%, 25%, 40%. I'm not exactly sure that Cam Newton reverts to form. And I don't mean number one quarterback in fantasy, but gets back to that level where he's knocking on the door of being a top 10 or 12 quarterback is. But I don't think he merits a redraft pick right now. I mean, it's reflected in my ranking, right? Okay. I've got none of us have him ranked. So I was a little surprised you thought he maybe merits. But just because, Matthew, there are other quarterbacks that I think are going to be going in that 15th, 16th round that represent comparable, if not better, upside, right? And maybe I'm overestimating that. Maybe somebody like Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and Trey Lance. Like, I'm assuming you take all those guys over Cam, right?
Yes, but yeah. Here's the thing. My non-ranking of Cam is due to the fact that he hasn't, quote, been named the starter yet.
Because, well,
I always
he says he's a starter.
I always rank based on if I had to draft today.
Right.
So,
okay.
So my expectation is that he will officially be named the starter, and then once he is, he will be in that 11 to 20 range for me, probably closer to 20.
Interesting.
Than
yeah.
11, okay. But that's he'll fair. Be yeah. in that range because the other thing about him is that there's certainly upside there with Cam, right? There's obvious tremendous upside with him. But the other thing is because the quarterback position is so deep, and we've talked about this, I'm okay taking a flyer on him, especially if I don't need him to be my starter. And that way, if Cam is back to being, you know, super Cam, great. I've got something. And if he's not, then you can obviously drop him and move on.
Yeah, frankly, the Patriots have a good thing in terms of how their quarterback room plays out in this regard, is that if Cam plays really well and he keeps the job all year, they're probably a pretty darn good team this year. They won 7 games with, like, probably, you know, nobody around, right? If he does not play well, or if Mac Jones just beats him out, that's a good sign for Mac in his future. So Mac is coming on, and Mac is certainly impressing. At the same time, he's a rookie, and the Patriots, you can't really use precedent because they had the same quarterback for 20 years. But,
right.
But Bill Belichick obviously has not relied upon a rookie quarterback in the past.
In general, I feel like, and listen, you worked for the Patriots in the front office prior to coming to ESPN. That's a team that you know well. It doesn't feel like to me that, except in the rarest of cases, Belichick is much more of a veterans type coach, that he wants you to earn it onto the field. And it's like, to me, it would take something extraordinary, like an injury or just, you know, an awful camp by Cam, which to this point has not happened, right, for Mac Jones to start.
Yeah, I think right away, but it could happen sooner rather than later is all I'm saying, which is why I'm a little skittish on using a late round pick on Cam Newton. But I agree with you. Like, if you were to give him my, tell me, like, what's your 5-second assessment on Cam, it would be, has the chance, if he remains a starter, to be a top 12 quarterback, but also has a chance to be a second stringer by week 3.
Wide range of outcomes for Cam Newton. I'll ask you the question you asked me very quickly then. Do you agree with the second part of my question, which is, like you said, for the fantasy value of the remaining players, who are you hoping gets that job? And I still said Cam Newton again because of the veteran presence. And just, I think the offense will be more dynamic with Cam because he's a threat with his legs.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that? Or
I do not. I think it's Mac Jones. I think Mac right now is a better, more pure thrower of the football.
Sure.
And we'll discuss this a little bit more once we get to the pass catchers. But beyond that, Matthew, it has an impact on Damian Harris.
No doubt.
Who we should get to right now. He is ranked 29th for you. I have him 31st. Daniel has him 35th. He was RB35 last year on a points per game basis, 9.1 fantasy points per game. We all agree. I test Damian Harris, good player.
Yeah.
Good little running back. Ran hard, ran effectively, averaged 5 yards a carry. Those are all good. Limiting factors for Damian Harris are sort of threefold, I think. One, Patriots always use a committee.
Yep.
And I know this sounds like blasphemous to say, Sony Michel played well last year when he was healthy. He averaged nearly 6 yards per carry. Mm-hmm. Having a good training camp again. The Patriots are, as I said, always using a committee. Two, Cam Newton gets all the goal line work. If he remains a starter, that's going to probably continue to be the case, right? He's the best, one of the best ever to do it. Not the best quarterback ever in terms of short yardage running.
Yep.
Third thing. 10 games last year played for Damian Harris. How many catches? What are you good? What do you think?
I'm guessing 1.
5.
Okay.
5 catches for Damian Harris last year.
Not involved in the passing.
Right? I mean, running backs that don't catch passes in fantasy are in some ways akin to quarterbacks that have 0 rushing yards in fantasy, right? Like, you can unlock so much more with any level of PPR value, of receiving value. And I just worry that for Damian Harris, that's not going to change this year, at least dramatically. So that's why I have him at 31. Like, I think he's probably better than the 31st best running back in the NFL, or somewhere a little bit ahead of that. I have a hard time relying upon him as a starting running back, absent injuries to Sony Michel, maybe Ramondre Stevenson, and the Patriots evolving their offense to the point where he's passing the ball a lot more. Or he's catching the ball a lot more.
Right. I'm at running back 29, so basically in the same range as you. You know, so, right, both of us have him as basically a low-end flex play. And to that point, the case for Damian Harris is that, you know, if Sony Michel stays healthy, well, that's been a problem for Sony Michel. You know, like,
sure.
Obviously been a problem for Sony Michel. Damian Harris did play well. There's a chance that Cam Newton, who wants to stay healthy, maybe isn't running as much as he did. Maybe, again, because, by the way, maybe there's more options. It's an offense that isn't as one-dimensional as it was last year under Cam Newton. So now you've got, you know, maybe Damian Harris is getting more work at the goal line than he did last year. Maybe Cam eases off. By the way, to your point, maybe for whatever reason they decide to make a change to Mac Jones, and now all of a sudden Damian Harris is getting even more work. So there's scenarios in which Damian Harris has double-digit touchdowns, rushing touchdowns this year, and becomes viable. But yes, the lack of passing game usage, the number of people in that backfield that includes Cam Newton at this moment, is a concern. I'm at 29, you have him at 31. We both have him as lower end flexes, you know, and it's because of the lack of passing game usage, he needs to be a goal line back.
You know, when we talk about quarterbacks that are better fantasy players than real life players?
Yes.
Damian Harris is the opposite. Better right. real life player than fantasy player.
Correct.
You talked about the James White rule last week, Matthew. So along those lines, he does not crack my rankings this year. Last year had a down year relative to his career performance. He also endured incredible tragedy last year. Obviously went through a lot, as you know, many people did, dealing with the COVID season, but you know, his parents, you know, and losing his father in a car crash that obviously his mother was involved in as well. It's hard, impossible for us to know how much that impacts a player and how they're sort of getting through things day to day. So we hope that, you know, I mean, obviously your heart goes out to him on that. But I think last year was also a difficult circumstances for James White. He's a really, really, really effective player. But the Patriots relied incredibly heavily on the running backs in the passing game when Tom Brady was their starter. And systematically, that changed last year. It just was a whole different offense with Cam Newton under center.
Yeah, it did. I mean, look, the Patriots offense was a mess last year. It was a mess, and it was not deprived. It was like, I'm trying to think of the word, but like you know, there
limited.
Was the, limited,
everything.
Like yeah. you know, the cupboard was bare, honestly. I mean, you know, it,
dude, it
listen,
was Demir
the Patri-
Bird.
Right. I mean, right.
Jacoby
I mean,
Myers.
Right.
I mean, Gunnar Olszewski.
Like, yeah. Like, right.
It Nikhil was
like,
Harry. We'll talk about in a second.
Right. I mean, exactly. I mean, it's worth noting the Patriots did lead all teams last year in running back target share, which would bode well. But one of the
that
other.
That surprises me. Really?
It's according to Thirsty Kyle right here. It's on the sheet.
Wow. That stuns me.
Who else were they throwing to? You just like Jacoby
I don't know.
Myers,
I just wouldn't have thought
Bird,
that. I'm
right?
just surprised. Yeah.
But it does surprise me as well. But it's there on the sheet. If Thirsty Kyle writes it, I believe it.
Yeah. No,
so,
I do too. I'm
so
just surprised.
But here's the one thing I will say. I think the offense as a whole will be better. One challenge though is that I think the Patriots defense will be better. Remember last year they had a number of players that opted out due to concerns about COVID-19, and so they were down a lot more than I think we're used to seeing, and they were in, you know, try to catch up mode as well. I don't think that'll be the case here this well. I have James White at running back 50, to your point. You don't have him ranked. You know, listen, there's a reason why we love James White as a player. We love James White as a person. But in fantasy, never James White.
We'll come back and talk about the pass catchers in just a second. Find out which Patriot becomes the fourth player on my guys list in just a minute. But first, want to get in shape but having trouble staying motivated?
Ugh.
Make 5-hour energy shots a part of your lifestyle and get the energy boost you need to get fit.
Yes.
We all know you sometimes do not want to go to the gym. So take a 5-hour energy shot to give you the feeling and alertness so you can get to the gym. With zero sugar and a convenient portable size, the perfect pick-me-up for getting stuff done. The 5-hour energy website has flavors galore like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach, mango, and more. There's a flavor for everyone. And you can also try them all. On the site, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack. You choose the flavors, and it is delivered right to your door. If you go to 5hourenergy.com, and that's the number 5hourenergy.com, and get some 5-Hour Energy product, you can do so today using our promo code FFF to receive 10% off your order. This offer is only valid until September 30th on one order and cannot be used with other promotions. The code is not good on the subscription orders. Go to 5hourenergy.com today.
Do you own or rent your home? Well, sure you do.
Sure you do.
Yeah. I'll bet it can be real hard work, too. But you know what's easy? Building policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
All right, time now to talk about the Patriots' pass catchers. And Kyle confirms, by the way, the Patriots led the NFL at 28.2% of their targets went to their running backs. He notes they were still sixth in terms of total targets to their running backs because their volume was lower.
Right.
But still, that's a significant amount. I was surprised by that number. All right, so the Patriots pass catchers, Matthew. Let's start with the wide receivers because I don't think there's a scenario where three Patriots wide receivers are going crazy this year. I don't think there's a scenario where the Patriots have maybe even one top 20 wide receiver. But I think there's four names that are somehow in the mix. And it's a matter of deciding whether one, maybe two of them, are worth a late-round lottery ticket. Last year, they drafted, or this past offseason, they traded for Nelson Aguilar, who was one of those players who just kept performing last year, wide receiver 42, but it felt like an even better season than that. Played well for the Raiders, had eight touchdowns. Not a ton of volume, but eight touchdowns and nearly 900 receiving yards. He led the NFL in yards per catch last year. Did Nelson, maybe he was number two. Jacoby Myers, who we talked about earlier, who was like the Patriots' best receiver last year. The problem was he had one touchdown last year. He threw that touchdown. He did not have a receiving touchdown last season.
Right.
They signed Kendrick Bourne, very gifted route runner guy who was good in his role for the 49ers last year to a three-year contract. And fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. What happens when you fool me three times?
You have to do a podcast with me.
Okay, there you go. But worth noting, N'Keal Harry has had, to this point, a very strong training camp. And if you just want to laugh it off, I get it. Like, it's been a very disappointing two seasons for N'Keal Harry. So if people are saying, that's cool, I'm passing, I get it. But of those four, does any of them interest you? And if I think, at best, they're probably late-round flyers. But which of those, if you were to prioritize them, might strike you as the best late-round flyer of the four?
If I had to pick one, I say, I guess, Jacoby Myers.
Yep.
Because I think he gets the largest target share. He's the guy that I think has the most has the biggest route tree on the Patriots.
Okay.
Like if you said one player on this team gets 90 targets this year, who is it? I think it's Jacoby Myers, right? 100 targets
amongst the pass, among the wide receivers.
Right. I think it's Jacoby Myers.
Okay.
But I'm hopefully avoiding all these because I still think it's a run first offense as long as Cam Newton's the quarterback. What does Cam do well? Cam runs well, and so I think it's still going to be a conservative offense. Again, we talked about the defense. We think the defense is going to be one of the best in the NFL as well. So I don't think they're going to get into a lot of shootouts. I don't think they're going to be, you know, a bunch of high-scoring games. And I do think that when they're throwing, I think they will spread it around, which is traditionally, I mean, that's what Brady always did, and not that Cam Newton is Brady. But, you know, from what I can tell of a Josh McDaniels offense, and he always changes his offense to his personnel, but my expectation here is that they'll spread the ball around, which is sort of the Patriot way, right?
Sure.
And I don't know that any of them are going to have consistent fantasy value.
Yep.
I mean, Aguilar, like, listen, obvious deep threat. Only Tyreek Hill had more deep touchdowns last year than him. He was great. But, like, so there'll be five, six games where Aguilar has a huge game because he's got, like, a 60-yard touchdown or something like that.
But that's a great point. And that's why I think,
knowing when those are going to come,
Totally.
As we talk throughout the as we go through preseason about and Double Trouble about all these kind of late round flyers, there are other wide receivers on other teams that I would much rather use one or two darts that I have at the end of my draft than any of the Patriots pass catchers.
I would agree with that. What I will say is that sometimes at the end of your draft, what you're not necessarily like searching for. I mean, you would always love to draft a Justin Jefferson.
Sure.
But you also understand that those are, you know, once every like 8 years you make a pick like that, right? Like, you have to get incredibly fortunate to draft a player with your last pick who ends up being, what, the fifth best wide receiver in fantasy last season?
Right.
Sometimes at the end of the draft, maybe saying to yourself, who is the best bye week fill-in amongst these players that I could add? And I think along those lines, I would end up gravitating towards Nelson Aguilar of these four Patriots wide receivers we mentioned, only because he may only have 5 or 6 weeks where he goes for 15-plus fantasy points. But if I have a bye week fill-in and I'm kind of shooting for the moon, he would be the one that I think has the best chance to land on the moon. Did Jeff Bezos make it to the moon or no?
Sure, maybe.
He just made it to space,
right?
He just
made it to space, not to moon.
Not to the moon. That'd be cool.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think you're right. It's trying to predict when those spike weeks come.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you're still throwing. You know, he's the first dart drafting him. The second dart is that when you have to use him, you actually hit the bullseye again. But just who I think represents the potential most weekly upside, he would be the one. But I'm not sure any of them are must drafts amongst the Patriots wide receivers.
Great that N'Keal Harry's having a good camp, but like the best case scenario for N'Keal Harry is that he actually plays.
Hmm. Well, yeah.
I mean, right. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, he was rumored to be traded. He was rumored to be cut.
Oh,
like,
he's requested,
you know, he's struggled with health throughout his NFL career. Even if he's on the floor, on the field, I should say, again, you've got Myers, you've got Aguilar, you've got the two tight ends, you've got the running backs, and you've got the threat of Cam Newton taking the ball and running it himself on every play as well.
Yeah.
I feel. Can I ask a real question?
Sure, yeah.
I feel really bad interrupting, but no, just because it happened, so I know, but that's why I feel
bad. He's used
bad.
To it at this point.
I know, but still. Just talking about this, you're talking about N'Keal Harry, the same draft as DK Metcalf, correct?
Yes.
So
AJ Brown.
I'm just curious. Yeah. Just curious because DK Metcalf was available there. If DK Metcalf had been drafted by the Patriots and Tom Brady was still on that team, would Brady have ever left New England to go win a championship for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Yes, there's a lot. Listen, there's a lot more to it than I think one draft pick here or there.
You think so?
Yeah, I think that's pretty well established. But
yeah,
DK Metcalf would look. No, he'd
yeah,
look great.
I mean,
every
you just say
right?
yeah because Field's saying yeah. You're just sitting on the couch yeahing along. You're just a freaking yeah-er.
Yeah, he is.
I mean. Even without DK Metcalf, Tom Brady had a pretty good Patriots career.
He did. He did.
I mean, like, I mean, I'm just saying, like, it's not like he's just like, oh, man, if we'd had there, we might have been able to win something. Like, I personally think, I've never met Tom Brady in my life, but my personal opinion is that Tom Brady wanted to prove that he wasn't, quote, a system quarterback or that he won because of Belichick. Like, he wanted to go to prove that he could do that because that's one of the narratives on Tom Brady was that it was all Belichick and that he, quote unquote, was a, which of course is insane. But that's the people that criticize him. That's among the criticism. And I think obviously Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay and shut everyone the hell up.
I do like also, Daniel, like when people play revisionist history or the past, like, you know, if the Patriots, I'm just making this up, like hadn't cut this guy, imagine what they would have done. I'm like, 11 Super Bowls opposed to 9.
Right.
Right.
I mean, like, right.
Yeah, 9 Super Bowls. God, right. they really screwed that one up, right?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, like, amongst I mean, it's the unbelievable.
Thing. Yeah. All right, let's talk about the tight end because this is the team in the NFL that has the best chance to have two tight ends drafted and redraft. Whether that's smart or not, we'll get into. Mm-hmm. Hunter Henry, and this comes from the great Mike Reese this morning, is undergoing an MRI. Now, the good news is after leaving yesterday's practice with a shoulder issue, it does not appear to be serious. He could miss some preseason time, but Hunter Henry, as we all know, has a he's got a long list of injuries on his career. That's the reason why he probably hasn't been more productive throughout his career, but he still is a really talented guy, and he fortunately is not going to miss any time.
Missed 2 games last year, missed 4 games in 2019, missed all of 2018.
Yep.
To your point, like when he's been on the field, he's been very productive.
Yep.
The key part is when, and so, you know, it's in, I feel like we should talk about Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith together because it's sort of interesting here that, so I have Jonnu Smith ranked ahead of Hunter Henry. Now I have him 16 and 17. So I'm, you know, kind of splitting hairs there, but I made a point of ranking Jonnu Smith over Hunter Henry. The health was one of the concerns there. And I do think that because of this news from Mike Reese, and we'll find out, you know, more after we learn the results of the MRI, but, you know, this may create some more separation between the two players. But whereas I have them sort of very thinly sliced, as it were, 16 and 17, and have them both as mid-tier tight end twos, you have Jonnu Smith at tight end 8. So I'm curious, and you have Hunter Henry at tight end 15. So you have a fairly significant difference between the two. Why? Tell me why that is, because that's interesting. For me, I'll just very quickly say the reason I have them both as tight end twos and next to each other is I think, again, the Patriot way is, you know, this guy gets run 1 week and then the next week they sort of spread it around. And I think trying to, when you think about a fantasy football season, they may both finish higher than that in the end of the season rankings.
Right.
I'm just like, when do you start those guys? If they're both healthy, trying to figure out when it's going to be a Jonnu Smith week and when it's going to be a Hunter Henry week would drive me crazy as a fantasy manager, and I'd rather go on a team that has sort of one clear pass-catching tight end.
So I think given the construction of this offense and the fact that the Patriots 10 years ago brought the two tight end set back to sort of prominence, that it's not mutually exclusive, a Hunter Henry or a Jonnu Smith week. Jonnu Smith is also on the guys list. Jonnu Smith. I have a little homework here for you. Anybody who's listening to the podcast right now, go on Twitter.
Yeah.
Go to the video search. Go to the search bar and then click videos. And just type in Jonnu Smith.
Okay.
And I'm assuming some of the top results will be highlight plays from previous years. Ask yourselves when you're watching him, like, How many other tight ends can do at their best what he's doing at his best? And I'm telling you, the answer is pretty short now,
yeah.
Right? Like, I think that the Titans are a magnificent offense, and they have been magnificent for much of Jonnu Smith's career. I think it's also possible that, like, from a usage standpoint, that could be about as low usage of an opportunity as he would have been afforded in almost any offense. If you go back and look at his game logs from previous years, you're like, oh my God, like the guy ever had like 450 receiving yards last year, making $50 million now. But how can you blame the Titans? They were unbelievable offensively. They're best running football we've seen in like,
sure,
I don't know how long, since like the Chiefs with Priest Holmes back in the day, or LaDainian Tomlinson and the Chargers. They have an unbelievable alpha wide receiver in A.J. Brown. They now have potentially two with Julio Jones. Like, I don't begrudge them whatsoever. I just think that if you were to put the 32 starting tight ends in the NFL and put them in like the Olympics or a combine, Jonnu Smith might win the whole thing.
His athleticism is off the charts. His ability in yards after the catch, like he is ridiculous. There's no question about that. He got paid, like I think some people that weren't paying attention to football were surprised at the numbers, to your point.
Yeah, so I would guess my question would be like, what would be the drawback other than, like, what are the limitations to his game? What are his weaknesses?
His name is not Mo Alley Cox, I'll tell you that much right now.
He's not Logan Thomas. I'm not saying he's
not Logan Thomas.
Sure.
No, jokes aside. No, to me, the limitations of his game are entirely about the situation that he's in and the other players he's competing with for targets,
right.
not about Jonnu Smith, the player.
Right.
I mean, if Hunter Henry, if we find out like this injury is serious to Hunter Henry, or Hunter Henry hadn't been signed by the Patriots, he'd re-signed with the Chargers or something else, I would have Jonnu Smith in the tier you do. Probably even higher than 8.
Right.
Because there's no question. I mean, there was. I remember talking last year, we talked about this, like free Jonnu Smith, like in Tennessee, because the kid can absolutely play. But you're looking at a low volume offense, another very talented tight end, especially in the red zone, and Hunter Henry, who also got paid. I know they run a lot of two tight end sets, but it's just like, how many passing touchdowns do we think are there for the Patriots? How much passing do we think they are? And then you sort of like go down to the projections. For whatever it's worth, I will say this to your point. Mike Clay, who does our projections for us here at ESPN and does a great job, legit, this is not the company man talking. This is just somebody who has studied fantasy football for a few decades. Mike Clay's projections are the best in the industry. They are unbelievable. And so for whatever it's worth, Mike Clay also has him as tight end 8. He is tied with you. So I am on an island by myself as having Jonnu Smith outside my top 10, outside my top 12.
Yeah.
I may, again, especially if this injury is a little bit more serious, like we'll see what happens with the MRI. I'll move Jonnu Smith up. But that's why I ranked him where I did, is just thinking about in season. But my concern with him has nothing to do with Jonnu Smith and has to do with everything else.
It's just opportunity, right? And when I say what are his limitations, I don't mean this is the second coming of, Gronk or Travis Kelce, right?
Sure.
I get it. Those guys are, they're at their apex. And Kelce's still at his apex, and Gronk at his apex, or cut above. I'm just saying that, like, most of the drawbacks on Jonnu Smith derive from opportunity. And I'll just note this along the opportunity idea. Since 2019, over his past 31 games for Jonnu Smith, second amongst tight ends in fantasy points per target, over 2 points per target. When he got his opportunities, he made good on them. And
100%.
I'm just thinking to myself, the Patriots, who spent big in a lot of ways, but worth noting, the first player they signed during their incredible shopping spree in free agency, Jonnu Smith. First one. So just
he was a priority. He was a target. There's no question.
And you know what? Ultimately, like, something I've realized about fantasy is that, like, we have to have some, like, there's a line, two lines, a lot of people just sort of stay between at all times. And, like, sometimes you got to go with your gut a little bit, right? And this is a gut call. It's a gut call that I think this is a really ascending player who I think could look very, very good, who, by the way, during training camp, as we know, catching a lot of passes. He's taking snaps out of the backfield, which we saw a little bit in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Patriots long snapper got hurt yesterday. Jonnu Smith, their backup long snapper. Like, he's just
amazing.
This is like Bill Belichick's, dream as a guy who can kind of do it all. All right, that does it for the Patriots. Let's talk about the Jets in a second, but Matthew, first, tell us a little bit about RotoPass, because I feel like everybody wants a deal, and RotoPass is it.
It's the best deal. Like, So RotoPass is a bundle company that basically what I did is I went around and grabbed what I think are the best premium content sites in the industry. I started with ESPN Plus, of course. You get a year's subscription to ESPN Plus where you can watch, among other things, The Fantasy Show with Matthew Berry. Secret Squirrel and I are doing a show today. The Crush Your Draft episode of The Fantasy Show with Matthew Berry will be out later tonight. So Monday night on ESPN Plus. Nice. But in addition to ESPN Plus, you get five other sites. And on those sites, you're going to have the ability to have customized ranks no matter what you play. Dynasty, Devy, Redraft, Best Ball, DFS, whatever. Customized ranks specific to your league scoring system, draft software, in-season software, incredible analysis, film analysis. And yes, if you play DFS, there are lineup optimizers. There is weekly analysis there as well. It literally is the best deal on the internet. It would cost you almost $400 if you bought all these sites separately. And you can get them for basically about $70 if you use the promo code 06010 at rotopass.com.
Do you have more than just your ranks on that site, Matthew Berry?
Many, many people's ranks. Okay.
Sign me up then.
Yeah, sign me up.
Many people's ranks. Many smart people's ranks on that site. And again, they're customized for whatever you play in a two-punter league, you put that in and boom, there's rankings for punters. Like, I'm just like, whatever system you play for, customized ranks from a lot of very smart people.
I play in the two-punter league.
Nice.
Favorite punter of all time, real quick.
Sean Landetta, single bar.
Sean Landetta?
Yeah, I love that, single bar. You?
I mean, Marquette King was really fun.
That's what I was going to say.
But you know what? Yeah. No, this is dumb. This is a layup. It's Pat McAfee. Come on. Yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah.
It's Pat McAfee.
It is our guy, Pat.
We love Pat. Well, Pat's our guy. We've both done Pat's show. Yeah. Pat McAfee's our favorite punter of all time.
Man,
come on, stop it.
Pat is so Pat worldwide that I don't even think of him as just a punter.
A punter,
anymore.
Of course not.
I forgot
it's
that's what
like
he was.
Voice
that's the
of,
thing.
He's the analyst on SmackDown, he's got a daily show, guy's the largest YouTube following everybody I've ever met, huge on Twitter.
It's Pat's world, we just live in it.
That's a good point. We love you, Pat. All right, let's get to the New York Jets, and the Jets, of course, have a new quarterback this year, Matthew, with Zach Wilson, number 2 overall pick out of BYU. He had a really impressive final college season, came on very, very strong. This year, it was clearly Trevor Lawrence 1, and then it became pretty clear that at least from a mock draft standpoint, it was going to be clearly Zach Wilson number 2 in a draft class that also featured Justin Fields and Trey Lance and Mac Jones. So a lot of pedigree here for Zach Wilson.
But I will say, I think that it became clear that it was Zach Wilson too because of the Jets, not necessarily like, I think like had other people, had there been another team at 2,
right?
Maybe Zach Wilson doesn't go 2.
That's
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's fair. I think if the 49ers had 2, I think Trey Lance would have gone 2.
Maybe. Yep. That's a fair point.
I think that.
But still, either way, like one team saw enough that it became a clear-cut number 2 for them, and this is a team that desperately needed a new quarterback after trading away Sam Darnold.
Yes.
Are we a year away? Are we 2 years away on Zach Wilson? Where are we at? I mean, and I don't like.
I think Zach Wilson is going to have some growing pains, obviously. They still have some concerns on the offensive line that they tried to address that in the draft a little bit and in the offseason. And, and they drafted Becton last year. So, like, it's getting better, but it's still an area of concern. And he's going to be a rookie. But he's, like, as we talk about, Fields or Garoppolo, Mac Jones or Cam, Justin Fields or Andy Dalton, as we talk about some of these quarterback camp, like, it's Zach Wilson. Like,
he's the guy.
The Jets aren't even pretending like, oh, it might be Zach Wilson and it might be like whoever else they even have in camp, right?
Sure, totally.
Like I think it's, is it Mike White? Is it the Western Kentucky kid?
It is Mike White.
Yeah.
It is also James Morgan, who they drafted last year, and they recently signed Josh Johnson.
Okay.
Veteran.
Yeah, yeah.
XFL, AAF, AFL.
Yeah.
He's Washington played for, football I believe, team. 12 different NFL teams. He's
including Josh the Washington
Johnson.
Football team.
Can I say about Josh Johnson really quickly?
Yeah.
One thing you can tell, like you can say without certainty. He loves football.
Yes.
He could have given this thing up 10 years ago.
Easily.
Loves football. And it's not like he's made bundles of cash.
No.
This is not one of those backup quarterbacks who's got $30 million in the bank. Josh Johnson loves football. I remember
him playing in – he was the 4th quarterback of the year for Washington 1 year. I think it was Jay Gruden's final full season.
He started, right, for a couple games?
Not only did he start, he started
who
with a game that had playoff implications them? Against the Titans.
Yeah,
What'd you say?
Who hasn't started quarterback for the Washington football team at one point or another?
Basically just the 3 of us.
Everyone else. That's really it.
And by the way, he was a gamer. And if it wasn't for a BS pass interference call that extended a drive for the Titans and stupid Blaine Gabbert, they would have won that game. They would have gone to the playoffs that year.
Yep.
Anyway, Josh Johnson played great. He was a gamer that game.
So anyway, so he's on
the
Jets.
Bench in 2 weeks. Anyway.
I think, Matthew, that we're though probably a year away. Like, whatever. Here are some of the things that Zach Wilson has going in his favor.
Yeah.
No threat of losing his job. He has a very live arm,
game one,
to borrow a quarterback cliche. Very good runner as well. Scrambled a bunch. Little slights, like he's not the biggest quarterback, most imposing guy. Like if you met Justin Fields, you'd be like, is this guy play linebacker or is he play quarterback, right? Zach Wilson's not huge like that, so maybe the Jets are a little bit more protective of like designed runs than some of these quarterbacks with sort of better body armor. They're like Josh Allen, Cam Newton types. Not a great group of pass catchers. Solid. Much better than where it was last year, but nothing that you're going to say to yourself like, wow, this is clearly, you know, this is not like Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. So interesting prospect, probably a year at minimum away from being a guy that we're counting on in fantasy.
But a guy that at least based on college, not scared to chuck it deep, has a strong arm. And I think he will be. So I think it's great that he'll be starting from game one. I think he will be a fantasy asset sooner rather than later, but probably not this year. If there's a positive, it's that we don't think the Jets defense is going to be pretty good, so they might be getting into some shootouts. And I think Zach Wilson will be good enough that to the extent you want to invest in any Jets pass catchers or any pass part of the Jets offense, that he's going to be able to get the ball to those guys.
So, wait, Daniel.
We do have to move on, but I want to ask a real quick question. Just from a dynasty perspective, redraft Zach Wilson. Are you drafting him this year?
No.
Redraft? No.
So for Dynasty, you've got all these other rookies that were taking him around him in different situations. Is Zach Wilson the lowest rated of that top tier of quarterback rookies even in Dynasty for you, or does he rank above potentially Mac Jones,
Justin Fields?
You've got him five?
I've got him five. I don't think anybody's going to argue with Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance going ahead of him, because Trevor Lawrence is Trevor Lawrence, and the other two are potentially dynamic with their legs as well, and also very potent with their arms. And I'm going to go with Mac only because like there's a chance that like Mac takes the job relatively early. And just, I'm sorry, Jets fans, like fault me for having more organizational belief in the Patriots and what they've done versus what the Jets have done, where we've seen this story before, where a quarterback looks promising and then 3 years later he's playing for the Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, and also just a belief also in Josh McDaniels.
Sure, yeah.
Josh McDaniels is as good an offensive mind as there is in football.
And one thing that I talked about, and we're not going to make this an NFL draft podcast, but I talked about this during the pre-draft process, especially when Mac Jones was being rumored as going number three overall, and then it was like all of a sudden it became almost like taboo to like have affinity for Mac Jones. I'm like, you don't understand. These are five amazing quarterback prospects. Right. Like none of them is a complete waste of space. Like they're all incredible. Someone's going to have to go fifth out of these five, and that's still a really good player. And I still think that all five of them have a chance to be stars in the NFL.
I mean, right. All five of them went in the first round. All five went in the first 15 picks.
Right. These are guys.
One of the first three picks in the NFL draft was was a quarterback.
We thought there was a chance that five could have gone in the first eight picks at one point. Like we were talking about, like, I think the floor for Mac Jones, probably the Panthers at number eight, right?
Yeah.
So things change fast in the NFL, but I think for now I have him fifth. But that's not, I don't want to make that seem like a huge indictment of him.
Yeah. And also, by the way, like, and we both said this after the draft, we thought the Jets did a good job. I think we are both Joe Douglas fans. We think the Jets are headed in the right direction. Long way to go, but they are. If you are a Jets fan, I think you have cause for optimism.
I agree on that. They're there on their way. It will take some time. We're talking about the skilled players in just a second, but for a moment, indulge me, Matthew.
Sure.
Imagine a nice vacation. Is there a view of the parking lot? No. So don't book a cheap hotel. Book an expensive hotel for cheap on Hotwire. With hot rate deals, you can stay in nicer hotels than you ever thought possible. Just select your city, neighborhood, and amenities, then get your hot rate. Better views, king-size beds, and freshly pressed waffle-woven robes await you, and also actual waffles. Download the Hotwire app now and book beyond your wildest means. All bookings are final.
Forge your NFL dynasty in Madden NFL 22 with new franchise features that deliver even more control. Manage your coaching staff and upgrade them with new talents like Dan Campbell, Deuce Staley, Anthony Lynn, Mark Brunell, Hank Fraley,
Antoine Randall,
Ben Johnson, and a bunch of others that are pretty amazing. Devise a new game plan for every opponent with in-depth weekly strategy. Experience the ups and downs of a real NFL season with the enhanced season engine. Excuse me. Madden NFL 22. Game day happens here. Pre-order it now.
All right, we're back at Fantasy Focus, and let's talk about the Jets' skill players, Matthew. We'll start in the running back backfield, where the Jets, I think, have three players of note. LaMichael Perine, their third-round pick last year out of Florida.
Why do we bring down
suddenly,
the moon lighting?
Everything suddenly went dark.
Yeah, I love like it. No, it's just like it's a good play, when we're talking right? about the Jets, it's we're a very somber house. Mood. We're just yes, going to bring the lights down just a little bit.
It's like we're doing a play right now, right?
Yeah.
Like, so, I'm like, you know, spotlight.
So for people who are not watching on the live Aww, stream and just hearing like all of a sudden of like all the lights in the podcast studio went out.
I kind
of
yes. liked it.
But it got now suddenly we're back. Very romantic too. With me and Field.
I kind of felt like I was out of play. I kind of wanted to say to Matthew, talk less.
Right.
Smile more. Yeah.
Just,
yeah
you know. Nobody wants to hear me singing, so yeah. I'm gonna stop right there.
Yes.
All right. Jets have three running backs. Michael Perine, third round pick last year. Tevin Coleman, veteran signed this offseason to a 1-year deal. And also Michael Carter, fourth round pick this year, 107th overall, very, very shifty, great pass catching back out of North Carolina, incredibly elusive, but a good runner too. Any value in this backfield?
I don't think so, because, by the way, you said they have three running backs. I think they have four. I think Ty Johnson. Ty Johnson gets some run here.
Fair enough, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they liked him towards the end of last year, and you're hearing some positive things about him in camp. Like Michael Carter is getting the most buzz. Fourth round rookie out of North Carolina, played well for the Tar Heels last year, averaged 6.6 yards per carry, led FBS with the most rushes of 20 or more yards last year. Big playability for this guy, you know, has nice pass catching ability. But again, Tevin Coleman, familiarity with Coleman, obviously, you know, the 49ers staff is now coaching the Jets. And so there's familiarity from their time altogether in San Francisco. You mentioned P. Ryan, the rookie from last year. They like him. And Ty Johnson as well. So I don't know that this offense is good enough that it's going to be in scoring position to sustain a fantasy viable running back unless that player is getting a decent amount of volume. And I'm not convinced Michael Carter gets the kind of volume you're going to need on what we expect to be a, you know, fairly low scoring offense. We think it's going to be an okay, but like, His current ADP isn't terrible. It's running back 38, although on other sites I've seen him going way higher. He's going in the 14th round, so I don't mind him in the 14th round. But here's where he's going, Field. He's going in the Ronald Jones, James Conner tier, and he's going a round earlier than Trey Sermon. I'd rather have all three of those guys more than Michael Carter.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of precedent, and I understand that like that you could probably always find that example of something happening once. But 5'8", 200 pounds... pass catcher by trade. I know he ran a lot. He ran the ball well at North Carolina, but I do believe the reason why teams were most interested in Michael Carter was because of his pass catching value. I don't know how many of those guys turn into immediate spark plug fantasy assets.
I have one guy off the top of my head, and I could be dead wrong, but it's like you're saying 5'8", 200 pounds.
It's likely, for the record.
Maurice Jones-Drew?
But he was like such a... MJD might have been like...
MJD coming out of college?
He was 5'7", I believe.
Yeah, he's shorter than 5'8", and he's probably thicker than probably was.
I mean, like I've met him a few times in person. He's like,
he's a bowling ball.
He
was a bowling ball as a player. I think he's more the exception. The point is that like,
but right.
I don't think if you saw those two in a lineup, you think like that guy is built like that guy, right? Meaning
right.
Michael Carter versus MJD. So I think we both agree.
But even though, so we still had to like search for maybe one. Right.
And there's also potential for a work share. This is basically the offensive system and staff from San Francisco, where we, as we know, whether because of injury or whether because of just preference, frequently we're shuffling the deck at the running back spot. So it wouldn't surprise me if kind of all these guys got a little bit of work, but none of them became a weekly fantasy starter. So let's talk about the wide receivers, Matthew.
We'll get into it as we go into Double Trouble, but like Trey Sermon is really, really talented. James Conner is going to get a lot of, you know, again, health is always a concern with him, but James Conner is going to get a lot of work in Arizona as well. So, you know, and even Ronald Jones, by the way. I mean, I know you've got Fournette and you got Giovanni Bernard.
Still,
it's a crowded backfield, but Ronald Jones has had fantasy success on a much better team than the Jets.
I was going to say, like, if you had the opportunity to potentially draft the Bucs' top rusher or potentially draft the Jets' top rusher.
Right. You're taking Rojo.
So for the Jets, there's not really a tight end of note, I would say, on the Jets. Unfortunately, Chris Herndon has just never happened. But there are three, maybe four wide receivers that are at least worth mentioning by name. Corey Davis, they signed to a three-year contract worth $37.5 million this offseason. Jamison Crowder, who had to take a reduced contract to stick around with the Jets, who the past couple of years has been heavily targeted and a pretty solid player overall. He was wide receiver 25 on a points-per-game basis last year. Their top of the second-round pick, Elijah Moore, who was outstanding, I mean amazing last year in the first year with Lane Kiffin as the head coach at Ole Miss. And then Denzel Mims, kind of the forgotten soul, who averaged less than 7 fantasy points per game last year, second-round pick out of Baylor in 2020. I'll ask you the same question for the Jets I did the Patriots. Is there a wide receiver that you believe out of those four most deserves to be kind of a late-round lottery ticket?
Yeah, probably Elijah Moore.
I agree, yeah.
Because he's got the highest ceiling. Look, I mean, here's the thing. I think Corey Davis has a chance to be useful.
Yeah, Corey Davis is a good player.
Corey Davis is a good player who was signed to a big contract and very easily could lead this team in target share.
Yeah.
Probably will. It's probably the odds-on favorite to lead this team in target share. So, good player, big, fast. Again, signed to a big contract. They expect him to be. To your point about Jamison Crowder, Jamison Crowder was really productive last year. I remember him. We were talking about him all last year. Like, and I remember you wrote about him in the waiver wire column for a number of weeks. Like,
every week,
you're like, guys, do you understand what Jamison Crowder is doing here, especially in PPR? Like, you know, and you always have to take camp reports with a grain of salt.
I'm telling you right now.
But the Elijah Moore, like,
the hype train is out of control.
I mean, the hype train is out of control on Elijah Moore.
The hype train is moving fast right now, but you're right, Matthew, in that. And I'm not saying this is what – I don't think that Elijah Moore is guaranteed to fall into this bucket, but every year, I mean, almost every team, there's like 10 guys per roster that you're like, oh, my God, this player looks amazing, right? I mean, how many players are receiving positive buzz right now? We're talking about, again, like, and I'm not trying to – like earlier we were talking – like N'Keal Harry has been legitimately one of the most buzzed about players at the Patriots training camp. Who knows if that will amount to anything? So I think Elijah Moore, a player I think – we all kind of agree is really potentially useful in dynasty. Don't know that he's the kind of guy that has a ton of touchdown upside. You just don't see. I mean, we talked about this with Mike Clay for years on the podcast. Not a lot of slot receivers with a bunch of tight end equity.
Right.
Touchdown equity, excuse me.
Yes, correct.
You just don't see a bunch of guys that are 5'8", diminutive in size, going up and winning with fades in the red zone or something like that. So I actually think it's Corey Davis that I would take out of these, believe it or not.
Fair.
Only because, first of all, like, it's laughable how we just don't, like, he's like, we've talked about him 5,000 times, and yet we can't just, like, get everybody to accept. Like, Corey Davis is just a good, solid football player, right? Like,
yeah.
Not sure he lived up to the 5th overall pick billing when he came out, but just a good, solid player.
He started
player.
Out with some, he had a bad hamstring injury his rookie year. Like, he's had some health issues.
Really,
right, correct.
So I think Corey Davis is the Jets player amongst the pass catchers that I'm most interested in rostering.
Let me ask you another question, though. One of these players blows up this year and finishes a top 20 fantasy wide receiver. Which one is it? Who's most likely to be the answer to that question?
I'm going to go with Corey Davis still.
Still Corey Davis.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about you?
I was going to say, I think Elijah Moore. Like, I think it depends on what you need at the end of your draft. I said Elijah Moore just because I think the upside is there, but there's also a wider range of outcomes.
Yeah.
If you're telling me, like, I'm in a 16-team league, in our war room league, it's probably Corey Davis, because who's more likely to be usable on a week-to-week basis? It's definitely Corey Davis. He's got a higher floor than I think Elijah Moore. I just think, and maybe it's a 10% chance or a 15% chance, but I think it's within the range of outcomes that Elijah Moore has. Just a monster year this year.
I think it's slim,
but like, I think there's a chance.
I just think that if you're Elijah Moore, I don't know, he's like a deep threat player, right? I don't know that he's like a 10 or 12 touchdown guy. I think it's possible that Corey Davis...
And he's competing with Jamison Crowder, who's also a really good player for snaps in the slot.
Yeah, and I think, like, if you're Corey Davis... And again, I am excited about all the buzz for Elijah Moore, and I'm not diminished. I believe that he's been as advertised. I just think that if one of these guys has 1,000 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns or 10 touchdowns, like, I could see Corey Davis doing that because he's come close to doing it in the past.
The touchdown thing is very fair. By the way, you mentioned Denzel Mims, and you're talking about camp buzz. The camp buzz on Denzel Mims is the opposite direction.
Yeah,
like, he's behind Keelan Cole by most reports.
Yeah. So the Jets actually have, like, not necessarily top-end depth, but they have decent depth at wide receiver. Like, Keelan Cole's if he's their fourth wideout, like, he's a very serviceable player.
Yeah.
He got a one-year deal in free agency that I think will end up being good value for the Jets. All that being said, Matthew?
Is there a chance Jamison Crowder's on another team come opening day?
I think it's possible. I think it's possible. Yeah, I think it's like a camp injury away from him being on someone else's roster. He reduced his contract down. I think it's $4.5 million in base salary with a chance to be at like $5 million total, which if something gets hurt, like, I think that's pretty reasonable to acquire a guy that has a track record of being pretty darn good.
He's really, really good, but he's not clearly part of the future of what they're trying to build with the Jets, which it seems like they're trying to build this nucleus of young players and like go out there and learn to play together. And so,
yeah,
because, you know, the Jets know that, like, you know, this ain't their year. This is about getting reps for everyone.
Totally.
Speaking of getting reps for everyone, just want to say Pat McAfee said hello on the Twitter machine after we
What's up, Pat?
Gave him a little bit of love to both you guys.
That.
So.
Love there that. Thank you, Pat.
Love our guy, Pat. That's going to do it for today, by the way. Thanks for watching Fantasy Focus Football presented by Hot Wire. We'll be back tomorrow for Giants Cowboys talk on Double Trouble.
I will not be here. Mike Clay will be in. I'm writing Love Hate this week. Oh. So Mike will be here tomorrow. Hopefully he does a good job. I'm sure he will. Until then, peace out.
Tennessee, you're in the 06010.